This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation pop experience. The KCU is alive and well, and so are we on Pop Goes to the Couch. Hi there, Andy Gatherton, and we're back with the second of our three-part series on coverage of Cobra Kai Season 4. Only on this episode, we have two of the three other guys. Sean Kidd is currently doing maintenance on the train. I heard there was an Amanda LaRusso sighting there, so who knows when he'll be back, but we hope to have him back soon. But with us is Scott Shipley. Hey, Scott.
Andy, I'm glad to be here tonight. We're going to be hitting up some Cobra Kai and also trying to figure out Kyler's real age.
And another mystery Tim's going to tell us about when he comes on. Tim Capel's here as well.
Yes, we have determined that the actor is between the ages of 23 and 43. So unless there is a second Kyler out there, I've already forgotten the actor's actual name, much like there's a second Peyton List, which is very mind-blowing, then something messed up is... Something doesn't add up here, is what I'm saying.
We are here to blow the minds of the listeners. They didn't know there were two Peyton Lists, and Joe Cio has got to be like 43. I mean...
Joe Cio has got to be like 43, is what it comes down to.
All right, very good. So, guys, we talked about the first three episodes, basically the appetizer, Moose Boosh. We're getting into the meat of the season here with episodes 4, 5, and 6. Episode 4 is called Bicephaly, I believe it's pronounced.
I believe so.
And it starts off with Kenny going on a tour of the high school. He runs into Nate and Bert in the bathroom. They see a shirt has Cobra Kai on it, and he's about to hit them when Hawk stops in and tells him to get out of Cobra Kai while he still can. Johnny is still feeling jealous that Miguel's getting closer to Daniel. Kreese introduces Terry to the Cobra Kai gang as their other sensei. So we get a continuation of the KCU TNG Next Generation with Kenny. And this whole kind of, a father-son love triangle thing is going on here. Scott, what did you think at the beginning of the episode?
We're starting to see good guy Hawk. Because I think last season, if Kenny would have been part of Miyagi-Do, he probably would have broken Kenny's arm. Like, he broke his supposed best friend Dimitri's arm, and now they're BFFs again. I'm sorry. I know, Tim, you might have you mentioned this at least in our group chat, and I can't remember if we're on the podcast, but, like, Hawk's, like, babyface turn, I'm still not feeling. But they're trying to add some brownie points to it with that, so I will give them credit with that. Johnny feeling jealous that Miguel's getting closer to Daniel. I don't know. Maybe he should go see Robbie. I'm just throwing that out there. We're starting to get some more Terry because he's got his ponytail back. So that means he's a Cobra Kai Terry and not Terrence.
He's putting that hair up and squaring up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right. Tim, what do you think about the start of this episode?
I like the dueling dads over their adopted son here. It's pretty funny, and just in keeping with the themes of this show. Like, Miguel's maybe feeling like Daniel is a little bit of a better father figure for her than Johnny. But some later developments are going to throw a wrinkle into that whole tapestry. Kenny's high school experience here, not getting off on the right foot. He continues to have a pretty bad impression about Miyagi-Do karate, given that their sensei's son is his chief bully. And now all these assholes are hassling him over Cobra Kai. So he continues to be rather justified in his feelings here. And also great to see Terrence, now Terry, back in fighting form. So looking forward to seeing what kind of influence he's going to have over Cobra Kai now with their two sensei, much like Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang.
Sensei? I don't know.
Sensei.
All right. So Johnny has a hard time thinking about Miguel and Daniel. Carmen tells him that he can tell Miguel about them when he's ready because he's afraid it'll change things. Daniel then teaches Miguel how to drive a car. Tori is working as a child entertainer at a place where birthday parties, which amuses Sam when she happens to be there to see it. I thought they were going to swerve us because, I mean, I know she's young and all that stuff, but I swear I thought she was they were going to reveal that she was working at a strip club. I don't know. because I think Tori is just so desperate to provide for her family that, you know, I just felt that, you know, I know it's a little dark, but mm-hmm. Who knows? Tim, what do you think of this part?
Yeah, I think that just would have been a little bit too risque given mm-hmm. her age. I think we forget sometimes these are supposed to be like underage high school students. Yeah. You know, the All Valley is what, 18 and under, right? Or yeah. under 18 mm-hmm. even. So it's like, they're probably not going to go there. So her new choice of occupation is somewhat interesting, but it's going to prove to be short-lived. So, I mean, talk about Kenny. Tori's quite justified in her feud against the LaRussos as well. I mean, she's been eating shit this season. Cannot catch a break.
Mm-hmm. All right, Scott.
Well, they were sort of hinting around that she might have been a stripper because I can't remember if it was last episode or this episode when they meet Terry that they asked, like, hey, do you want to hang out after we're done here? And she's like, oh, my boss has me working late. And then it goes to that, and the boss is, like, trying to be kind of being a dick, like how you see, like, strip club bosses be. And, like, it feels like she's getting ready in a, like, a locker room area. But it's no, she's just a mermaid, which I thought was very funny. But, yeah, I was like, oh, what show am I watching here? But, no, it was just a fun time, and I'm glad we're seeing more of, like, the side characters more this season than we have in previous seasons. Really elevating, like, Tori into, like, you know, to the level of Sam.
Which it feels like is something they have to do with each dojo's sort of principal cast of characters being a little bit diluted. You have to flesh out some of those mid-carders, so to speak, and even some of the jobbers, like, have been stepping up. I think even the kid they call Penis Breath probably gets more lines than he has, whose name I still, his actual name doesn't stick with me, but he's gotten more lines this season than I think he has in any previous season to date. So it's one of those things where we've gotten to know who our main players are, so they're having to flesh out some of these curtain jerkers, so to speak.
Well, Tim, you even bring up a good point, and I didn't even realize until Andy mentioned it at the beginning, that those two kids that walked in, that they were part of Cobra, that they're part of Miyagi-Do. So, like, they're mm-hmm. adding stuff right there to, like you said, the jobbers.
Yeah, because they were, like, the little kid like part of it. You know, yeah. Like, they're the cruiserweights mm-hmm. of the
Bert
of the
and factions. What's the other one? The one who they beat the fucking shit out of me.
I think is it Neil or Nate, something like that.
Nate.
Yeah. That jump is at least like seven Nates high. Three Nates, and we're 15 yes. Nates high. Stop using me as a measuring.
He's a unit of measurement. <Measurement. yes.
laughs> All right. So Robbie tries to mentor Kenny. Terry catches him, teaching Kenny some Miyagi-Do, and the two of them fight so Terry can get a read on Robbie. We get a flashback to young Johnny thinking about his mother telling him she was marrying Sid and he'd have a new father. He kept the belongings from his own father before he left, including a can of Coors, which is the same beer that he drinks now. Johnny's afraid to tell Miguel out of fear of ruining the relationship that he has with him. So lots going on here. You know, we get, you know, Robbie more one-on-one with Kenny. Then Terry's starting to, like, kind of, you know, interject himself. And we get that flashback to when, you know, Johnny's mother was about to marry Ed Asner. Scott, what do you make of this part?
It was nice seeing Robbie trying to mentor Kenny because he's been kind of a dick besides to Kenny this whole season. Like, you know, if everyone's supposed to be shades of gray, he was more like, yeah, a bad guy. So it's nice to see them that. And like, we're getting our first look at Terry and as a Cobra Kai instructor. And like, you know, we're still unsure where we are, where we fit on with him. It's like, is he as bad as Kreese or is he just a minion? So it's nice to see that. Also, it was kind of heartbreaking where we see Johnny with his mom's like, you got a new daddy now. And like, we saw that his stepdad, Ed Asner, was a piece of shit to him. And a nice little touch with the beer thing. But yeah, just very, like, we're hitting all the emotional spots 5 minutes into this episode.
All right, Tim?
Yeah, I didn't catch the whole Coors banquet beer being like a source of attachment to his real dad. So that's a nice little touch that they added. Makes a lot of sense for Johnny being the somewhat arrested character he is in his development. And then back at the Cobra Kai dojo, Robbie's a character who has so much baggage with the other established characters of this series that I think it's to his benefit that they pair him off with someone who he really has no history with and is a brand new character to the show. Just to see like how he interacts with somebody he doesn't already know. To say nothing of like how Terry Silver is assessing everyone. And you get the sense that Terry doesn't necessarily think Robbie's hot shit. Like he's not gassing him up the way that Kreese is. And certainly he, you know, he's not his dad like Johnny. So that's, not a thing. So it's sort of like, how is Robbie going to interact with this sensei who, doesn't have this sort of built in history or association with him already. So I like that little exchange, as well as Scott did.
Yep. Yeah. It was, you can see Silver's just, he's like, I guess like a Jake Roberts type. Like he's just sitting there assessing and working things out and trying to figure out how he's going to play people. I mean, you know, when you're thinking of, on one move one, he's on move four, five and six in his head. So
at this point, he seems to genuinely want to help the students, like just from a pure self-improvement standpoint, he seems fairly genuine, but you know that his intentions are just totally clouded by this apparent need to still prove himself or pay off his red ledger, so to speak, to old Kreese. So there's definitely more going on beneath the surface there, but the way he's presenting himself, I mean, it's more or less on the level, it seems like.
Yeah, for now. All right, so Sam antagonizes Tori at her place that she's working now, and Tori very creatively retaliates using the kids to get glitter all over Sam. Miguel opens up to Daniel about his own father and where he is now. They continue to connect with each other, I believe over 80 soft rock, which is pretty incredible. Robbie stops by to tell Johnny that he's better than him and that to tell Hawk to lay off Kenny. Sam antagonizes Tori by making out with Miguel in front of her. Tori leaves another job. Amanda tracks her down to talk to her. She apologizes for Sam, but tells Tori that she needs to be able to help people let people help her. So, you know, it's starting to pick up a little bit with, Robbie stepping in to, look up for Kenny and the Sam Tori thing just keeps getting better and better every moment. Tim, what'd you think of it?
Pretty juvenile, pretty immature on Sam's part here, the way she is ragging on Tori at her job like this. I mean, to a certain extent, you can't blame her given all of the acrimony between these two, but just goes to show that this feud is more of a two-way street than you might be led to believe. So not a good form here by Sam. And then you've got Amanda intervening. It seems like this is a very, sudden shift in her motivations, which we see a lot with these series, just characters turning on a dime. It's kind of one of my, if you can even call it a criticism, which is hard to do because that's just what soap operas do. Like all of a sudden now, you know, Amanda's all about trying to help Tori. Where's this coming from? Well, we're going to find out that this is actually coming from a place that does make a degree of sense. And I like the way that they're going to ultimately justify this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good. Scott.
Yeah. I agree with what Tim was saying with them justifying it, because it seemed really heavy handed when she came to her job at the restaurant. How Amanda was doing that, I was like, that was out of character for Amanda. But then we see there's something behind it, because after she got her fired, she then brought all the groceries to her house and Tori brought them, basically threw it at her face. And now she's like pleading, like, you got to let someone help you instead of trying to be a hard ass and do it on your own. Robbie stopping by and telling Johnny and, you know, gets his little dig in that he's better than him. And like, you know, he tells Hawk, tells him to tell Hawk to lay off Kenny. That's an important issue for what happens in the next episode, I believe, or a couple episodes from now. But they're setting seeds, like Tim said, and they're going to plant those seeds eventually. Yeah. But Sam, sorry, but this is when I start jumping off the Sam train, because before I can see when she had issues with Tori, because she did try to stab her to death with which, with that.
Yeah. It's no small thing, but
yeah, but I mean, not really. She is a flesh wound, but now she's just trying to be kind of being a bitch. Like,
yeah. Oh, Sean would be all over that right now.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting there going, I got to edit this shit now, man. No, he'd be going off and justifiably, because Sam is now the antagonizer, I guess, you know, Sam.
Well, because it's petty, you know, either, I mean, you're either above it or you're not. Like, it's just, there's no need for her to do that when, I mean, they've already agreed to this truce, so to speak. We'll see how well that holds up throughout the season. But, you know, they've agreed to let bygones be bygones for now until the tournament. So you kind of can't have it both ways. Like you're either truly hands off or you might as well just be at each other's throats. Like, this is just so petty and childish of her.
Mm-hmm. All right. So they all go to the drive-in, and I think they're watching one of the Bloodsport movies, I think.
Yeah, Kyler, it was the first Bloodsport.
Yeah. Kyler and some of the others haze Kenny like he's a pledge of a fraternity. Kenny bumps into Nate and Bert, and Hawk shows up as well. Robbie jumps out, and suddenly it's Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang versus Cobra Kai. I love Dimitri's line here, like, oh, God, don't tell me it's another rumble. Like, Dimitri's like the voice of reason. I love him so much. They agree to meet at the baseball diamond. The Cobra Kai show up. Miyagi-Do and Eagle Fang are nowhere to be seen, but the splinkers go off, and Cobra Kai gets incredibly wet. I'm trying to think of drenched. And the
soaked.
Soaked, and yeah, they're all leaving. You know, Hawk couldn't believe that they didn't have to throw a punch and he still got them. That's going to come back to bite him. Scott, what do you think about what happened at the drive-in here?
First off, 40-year-old Kyler probably saw Bloodsport in theaters.
And what is he, their faculty advisor?
Yeah. So, you know, he shows up, and he's just a complete prick. Like, he's making making Kenny pick up all this ridiculous food, and then, like, you know, Robbie, and he shows that he's a good guy underneath there, and like, he's like, I'll help you out, and he's like, don't let him see you sweat. And that's when they run into Miyagi-Do, and it was like, oh. And then Eagle Fang shows up, and it's like, damn, like, I know this is a TV show, but it's like, this felt like the another movie that Ralph Macchio was in, The Outsiders, where everyone's meeting up at the drive-in to have a rumble, which, you know, I guess they alluded to with Dimitri. But, you know, I thought that we were going to have a little fight, because I'm surprised, even though they had this quote-unquote truce, that they've held off. You know, this is episode four. This episode four with nothing happening. But I'm still shocked that they do, like, it's a juvenile prank with the sprinklers. But, you know, I enjoyed it, because it still holds off one for them actual touching.
Yeah, the greasers and the socias. Tim, what do you think of the drive-in?
Yeah, it's some real bullshit here, and it's a pussy move, is what it is. It's oh, we have this truce. We're not going to lay a hand on each other until the tournament, but we're gonna find little workarounds. We're gonna find little technicalities to exploit so that you know we can still get over on you without actually touching you. And it ain't cool, man. That's gonna blow up in their face. They're playing with fire here.
All right, so to close out the episode, Cobra Kai wants revenge, and they start plotting. Kreese wants to do something, but Terry tells him that they have to learn from their mistakes and not rehash the past, but he has a plan. Johnny is annoyed when he finds out that they poked the bear and didn't fight. Daniel is glad that they didn't fight. On the other hand, Kreese and Terry show up at the Miyagi-Do, and Daniel is shocked as we close the episode. So, you know, we're starting, the repercussions are going to come soon about what happened, and it's just starting to build up and build up, and it's going to blow at some point. Tim, what do you think of the ending of the episode?
Oh, I mean, it feels like things are building to a head, a real powder keg here, just in this first really quarter of the season. Like, we're already going to get a confrontation, a tag team match, if you will, of Terry and Kreese versus Daniel and Johnny, and I'm very much here for it. I hope we see another total elimination.
Yes. Scott?
Pretty interesting with Terry tells them they have to learn from their mistakes and not rehash the past and like come up with a plan. So that's definitely something, and it shows that Terry may be a little bit more diabolical than Kreese, because Kreese just wants to go heads up fighting, but Terry's more of like psychological, which I haven't seen Karate Kid 3 in some time, but he alludes to it. In his, when he was terrorizing a teenager as a coked out, you know, 20-year-old, aka Kyler. But sorry, this will be my go-to sure. all night. but when Kreese and Terry show up, and like you see, like Daniel just get like terrified. It's like he had PTSD. Like it was like, you know how Kreese always flashes back to Nam, and so does Terry. Daniel flashed back to that time he turned on Mr. Miyagi because he was shook.
All right, so that's going to bring a close to episode 4, but you know, of course, you have like 2 seconds to say, you know, you want to watch the credits. But then we get into episode 5, which is Match Point. Pick up where we left off, and Silver apologizes to Daniel, but he doesn't buy it and kicks him off his property. I love how the kids are watching, and they're like, do you know who that is? No, it looks like Highlander. And Dimitri's like, there can be only one Highlander. The kids and Johnny continue to speculate over it is.
Highlander.
Yeah, Kreese taunts Johnny as they leave. Tori and Robbie plot to get the others back, but Silver tells them that they should hang on to their anger and save it for the All-Valley fight. Johnny and Daniel have drinks and bicker. Daniel wants to take over train because of Silver, and Johnny challenges him to a fight to a finish because he thinks he knows that Daniel thinks he's better. So, you know, hot start to this. I think Terry and Kreese are there to, you know, plant some seeds of doubt in those the other guys. And we get Johnny finally just saying, that's it. We got to sell this once and for all. Scott, what are your thoughts on the start of the episode?
It was a hot start coming off that hot ending, and like it wasn't something you would see in other TV shows where it'd be immediate like letdown, just like a wet fart. You know, Johnny's like, who the hell is this Terry guy? And you know, Daniel wants to fight right then and there, which is just amazing. And because that shows that Daniel, like, because sometimes he kind of looks like a pussy in the show sometimes, like, oh, all defense and stuff. You know, but sometimes you got to have the offense. And Tori and Robbie plotting to get the others back. We'll see what happens. But I love when they were having, when Johnny and Daniel were having drinks and they got in the argument, and Johnny just puts the money on there. And the bartender goes, he gave me $3. And Daniel's like, I'll just pay for it.
Yes. Tim?
I kind of hated this episode. Not that it was like poorly written. It didn't give me what I wanted it to. Felt like a little bit of a bait and switch here with the four Sentai not coming to blows, unfortunately. But Daniel is definitely shook seeing this blast from his past. Here again, like, how many? I mean, first Johnny, then Kreese comes back, then Terry Silver. It's like, how many of these guys are going to keep coming out of the woodwork here to resume their ancient karate feud with this guy? Like, he's got to be thinking, how is this my life? So that ends up being pretty entertaining, if you know, a bit of a bait and switch, I thought. Then, you know, we're at the bar with Daniel and Johnny, and we get some more what feels like to me more manufactured feuding between the two of them. Like, they're always going to bicker. They're always going to be the tag team partners who hate each other, but ultimately work well together. And you want to see more of that. But here, nope, they just can't get it together. They fall back on old habits. And it's like all of a sudden that rivalry is back on. I'm like, man, this just feels kind of tired at this point. And I don't know, it seemed like the way that this season was being set up was truly the uneasy alliance for it to be coming apart this early. And I will say, I binge watching these gives you kind of a skewed perception on what events actually happened in which episode, because I feel like this happened much earlier in the show run than it actually did. But we're at about the halfway point, so I guess if you're going to have a turning point in the season and in the setup for this season, it makes sense to do it here. But I don't know. I feel like in my recollection, this happened much, much earlier, like episode 3 or 4, probably because I watched the first 5 episodes immediately and then had a bit of a hiatus while I had to tend to other things and watch the rest of the series. You know, it's funny how the way that you consume the show influences when you perceive things happening within the show, if that makes any sense.
I also love at the bar where Johnny basically gets Karate Kid Part 3 summed up in about two minutes.
Yeah.
he's like, what? They put you through all the way after in the next tournament? That's bullshit. And he doesn't know nothing about Silver. He's like, let's go kick his ass. He goes, that's what he wants. We can't do that. So, and that kind of doofy looking bartender that comes over.
He was doofy.
All right. So Dimitri tells a now purple-haired Hawk all about Silver from what he learned on the internet. And Yasmin tells him that she won't be there for prom or the tournament. Still can't believe Dimitri landed her. The kids are excited to see their sensei's fight. Well, when Johnny goes on a drunken Twitter rant to his only follower, who is Miguel, Sam gets into it with Daniel when she hears him down-talking Johnny and his style and reprimanding her for being too aggressive with Toria wanting to learn both styles. So, you know, we get a little more Hawk and Dimitri action here, which these guys, I really enjoy their dynamic, you know, because he's kind of trying to be stay Hawk while letting Eli come back out, I guess, so to speak. He's kind of a dual personality, but I love the Dimitri-Yasmin relationship. I'm sorry. Tim, what do you think of this part of the episode?
I have to say, that piece of shit, Dimitri, is actually growing on me. I don't mind Dimitri as much as I did earlier in this show. I think he's seen a lot of growth as a character. He's really benefited. Been one of those mid-carders who got the call up, and I think has really been game for it. And I dig sort of the nerd dating the hot chick thing with Yasmin. I'm never sure whether it's Yasmin or what. Who's the other one? Moon.
Yeah. Moon.
Was Moon the one who was with Hawk earlier?
Moon dated Hawk and then Hawk. Okay. Dated the girl. That,
yeah. And then dated the girl after.
Which is over now.
Which is over now, yes. So I can never keep track of those two. But anyway, nice seeing Dimitri and Hawk get back on the same page here. Hawk with the purple hair. I'm digging it. Like, I didn't like the repeat of the red Mohawk from, you know, seasons 2 into 3. I feel like he should change it every year, right? So he didn't do that last year, but now we get the purple. Pretty cool. Good stuff. We haven't seen a whole lot of these kids actually in school, reminding us that they are high school students at the end of the day. So I did kind of like that scene. just reestablishing that in some of the relationships.
All right. Scott?
Dimitri, yeah. I love that Dimitri, like, is also a genius because, like, he, like, has an app, like, where he was able to find all the stuff out about Terry Silver because he took a picture of him. And he's like, yeah, I'll repurpose the app. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. why don't you go work for fucking NASA, Dimitri, while you're banging Yasmin. Maybe he has a big old schlong, and that's why she stays. Mm. But the Jarkin Twitter rant was awesome, and I love that Miguel is his only follower, so, like, everyone's getting screenshots from Miguel, because, like, Sam doesn't follow him, or no one. It's like the Creed Thoughts thing from The Office, so... It's like, no one wants to hear that.
Nobody needs to.
But, and, like, you know, this is the part where I thought we were going to have, like, a double turn, sort of, with Sam going with Johnny and Miguel going with Daniel, which they hint at a lot during the season, but never goes fully with. Mm. Like, because she, spoiler alert, because she goes and trains behind Daniel's back, but it's not a full switch, because that's what it seemed like it was going with, like, Daniel and Miguel doing mm. all this stuff, so.
Yeah. Right.
And you never know with this show, because, like you said, Tim, everyone turns, like, all the time.
Yep.
It's like WCW yep. 2000, so for 100 times better.
I also love Amanda coming into the office with Daniel's hungover, and he's trying to explain Terry Silver, and she's like, another one? Really?
Yeah, and she's like, is there any more? And he's like,
maybe.
I won't promise you anything, maybe.
It could be.
He's like, no, well, maybe.
Could you imagine, like, being Amanda and, like, the first, like, you know, 15 years is great, and then, like, all these old fucking
yeah.
karate, like, enemies come out of the woodwork in the past,
right.
just in the past year of the show, like.
Yeah, because we have to keep in mind, it's only been about 2 years.
No, it's only been 1 year, like a year and a half, because they.
Yeah, right.
Because they say it's only been one All Valley.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had to get from the end of that one to the start of this next one. Seems like they moved it a little bit later in the year, but still, like, not a whole lot of time has passed in this universe.
I love we get a training montage with Johnny, you know, just being a dick, kicking a soccer ball, you know, taking a guy's scooter and throwing it, kicking a mailbox.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was I messaged him privately because you guys hadn't watched it yet. And I was like, that training montage is the best montage ever, because the part where he destroys the bird scooter, because I have them in Nashville and they are a fucking nuisance. So I was perfectly okay with, like, them being destroyed. But it was just an amazing one. I don't even know what song it was. It might not have been a real song. I just loved every second of it.
Yeah, and the tape says training montage or something like that.
Yes.
Oh, God, I love Johnny. So is my girlfriend.
He's punching and kicking the ocean. Like,
yes.
Yeah, he's fighting waves.
Yeah, just kicking anything's ass. All right, so Kreese doesn't agree with Silver telling the kids they can't fight or get revenge before the tournament. Tori and Robbie plan to get revenge and get the others involved. Miguel is over the fighting between Johnny and Daniel and tells them that they lose no matter who wins, and he doesn't want to stop learning Miyagi-Do. Kreese and Silver talk about the different plans, and they get on the same page. All right, so, you know, we see the other side of the coin now with the Kreese and Terry kind of not saying that there's kinks in the armor, but Scott, you know, what do you make of their side of the battle, I guess?
It's more psychological. It feels like every word that, like, more that Terry says to Kreese is, like, very deliberate. And, like, I went in thinking Terry was maybe going to save Cobra Kai, but that doesn't appear to be the case, as we see in the next couple of episodes. And also not mentioned here is, like, when Tori and Robbie plan to get revenge, that's a dark scene, because, like, Hawk is, like, hanging out at the tattoo parlor, and then they come and hold him down, and the last thing you see is Robbie grabbing a utility knife. And I was like, my mind started going in some dark places. I was like, are they going to cut him? I was like, are they going to cut him up? Like, put, like, Cobra Kai into his chest or something? Or, like, try to cut off his tattoo or something? We'll see what happens in the next couple of minutes. But it was one of the darker moments of the show. And this and last episode, we thought Tori was a stripper, and now it looks like they're about to like carve up Hawk. So it's like, damn, what are we doing? Was I the only one that thought that?
I thought they were going to tattoo him something on his head or some shit like that.
Well, at first, yeah, I thought they were going to give him like an unwanted tattoo or something, which should be, I don't know, in some ways funny and sort of in keeping with the humor of the show. But when he whipped out that straight razor, I was like, I don't know about this. It's like, well, you sort of saw where it was going when they moved in on him. And it's like, okay, he just got the new Mohawk, so all right, fine. But yeah, it's definitely a very menacing scene, but I like the team up between, Robbie and Tori, as the two kind of most put upon characters in Cobra Kai. It just like, they don't really need much more heel heat, but they're such badasses that, they really are carrying the load for this, for their faction essentially, which has been jobbed out really our past two episodes now, and they're building back strong here.
Well, even if they want, because they have like mixed messages, Tim, because they have like Robbie like protecting, he's like tell Hawk to stay away from Kenny. If they really wanted to do it, and this will harken back to season one, they would have had Kyler be the one, because he used to be the one that would bully Hawk.
Right.
So if they would have had that, that would have been like,
and is the least sympathetic of yeah, cause, anyone,
because he's drawn Social Security. I think he was a nom too.
There went my train of thought.
We also get a nice training montage with Daniel, which basically the same clips from the original Karate Kid, but from Daniel's perspective. You know, they kind of had Johnny like, with times that Daniel got like, you know, one up on him, but now while Daniel's training, they're showing the ones where Johnny got him. So I think that was really great editing there by them.
Yeah, and that leads into what
a few times, but it's always effective, I feel like.
It really is, and it leads into what we talked about last episode, where some people thought that Johnny was the good guy, because like you see it from both angles. So it's like, damn, might have to revisit that movie.
Right.
All right, so cool. So Johnny and Daniel fight, but it's a draw before they could decide on anything. Hawk comes to the showdown and reveals that Cobra Kai cut off his mohawk. Johnny wants to get revenge, but Daniel refuses. It causes another argument, and Daniel gets upset when Sam agrees with Johnny. They say they're done with each other, and the two dojos separate again, but Miguel and the others are reluctant to leave. Yeah, the whole scene with Hawk getting you know, his mohawk cut off, he's actually about to, you know, ask Moon out to the prom too. So that was kind of messed up. And Kyler is just, you could see Kyler getting he's the one that holds the thing to his throat. So Tim, how do you think this ends, where we get the, you know, the Johnny, you know, they get the fight between Johnny and Daniel, and they're like, you know, give it to me from another angle. We only have one camera.
One camera, yeah. So this fight gets 0 stars from Jennifer Smith, dud rating, because it ends in a draw. We have settled nothing, and that's fitting for these two. I feel like it's just going to be a constant stalemate. No, and you pretty much knew that, right? There can't be a winner here. We're only halfway through the season. The whole premise is these two are too evenly matched. We're not that dissimilar, you and I. That whole stupid cliche. So that is going to continue to define them, certainly. And yeah, I mean, it's fun to see them go at it, but I hope that no one went into this expecting a decisive outcome. But it is unfortunate to see that the kids actually have more wisdom, really, than the adults, realizing that, you know, they were learning from each other. They were becoming better, more well-rounded students, more than the sum of their parts, by picking up, you know, different disciplines of karate here in the Karate Cinematic Universe and combining them and creating something altogether new. Well, no more. That's all gone to shit. And boy, Hawk, he's been defrocked, you guys. Look at this. What a fall from grace. And
it's like a guy who shows up after a loser lose, you know, gets their haircut match, you know?
I mean, really, yeah, we see the aftermath of it. I wonder if this was the actor being like, look, I can't keep doing this. Like, got to get rid of this thing. Because as I understand it, that was his actual hair in season after season. So I don't know. That probably gets old after a while. But anyway, yeah. Hawk continues on his way down here. And this is a kind of a good tear him down to build him back up type of story for Hawk that they seem to be telling. And I'm always a sucker for those, for that type of storytelling, whether it's in wrestling, whether it's in comics, whether it's, you know, whatever form of fiction, it always works for me.
All right. Very good. Scott, what'd you think of the ending of this episode?
I love the fight. I had a feeling that it was going to be like a Rocky III ending with Apollo and Rocky knocking each other out, and that's exactly what happened. But I did love when they were giving out the points, where like Miguel gave a point to LaRusso, and Johnny looked at him like, what the hell? And then when Sam did it for Johnny, like Daniel did the same thing. So it was like, that's why, like what I said earlier, I thought they were going to change sides. But, you know, like Tim said, I didn't think they would be the reluctant, that they were going to split up. I thought they'd be the reluctant partners the whole season because they've been saved so many times. At the end of episode one, they were about to break up, but they put together the sparring board thing. And,
yes,
you know, they weren't saved this time with it, so they just break up. They're two jilted lovers.
All right. So that's going to bring a close to episode 5. And we still have episode 6 to break down, but we're going to take a quick break, allow everybody to catch their breath and you know, get the KCU back into perspective here with Scott Shiflett and Tim Capel. I'm Andy Atherton. Pop Goes to the Cast. We'll be right back. Pop experience. We are back here on Pop Goes to the Couch. We are in the second of our 3 Cobra Kai season 4 pods. We're about to talk about episode 6, which is called Kicks Get Chicks. All right, gentlemen, so the board changes the competition rules. There will now be a skills competition and a girls and boys division teams. Johnny doesn't have a girl on his team, so he needs a new recruit. Tori's Aunt Candace comes looking for her, and that's Candace with a K, by the way. Comes looking for her because she wants her mother's disability paycheck. She threatens to play the game and get custody of Tori's brother when her mother dies, so she gets all the money. Johnny tries to recruit female athletes at the high school to join Cobra Kai. Moon suggests her ex. So, Scott, you know, we learn some changes upcoming to the All-Valley, as well as we get a little more peek into Tori's family situation, and Johnny goes on a horribly bad recruitment trip. What do you think?
Oh, my God. First off, I loved how when we saw Tori's, meth head aunt, we also saw the homeless lady that we had not seen since season 2, I believe. That's always outside, like, the little convenience store and where the Cobra Kai dojo is. So that was a nice callback. And then, you know, we just – like the when they were bored was like changing the competition rules, you would have thought they were trying to decide the next president of the United States the way they were reacting. I was like, this is karate in the valley. Like, come on. But like, I love how just over the top it is and everything. And they're like, yeah, last time you said you had a celebrity, it was Louis Anderson, and he didn't even show up. And
it's like, oh my damn. God. Imagine Louis Anderson showing. All right, here we go. We have the All Valley. First of 3 points is going to win. Is it going to be Cobra Kai or Miyagi Do? Anybody got a sandwich? Anyway, sorry.
Sir.
Let's not expect that. Tickled me. And also Johnny saying when he was in high school, he knew how to talk to girls and trying to talk to girls with Miguel. It's like, where was the school resource officer to arrest him?
Oh my God.
Like, oh my God. Do they not have cops in the valley? Like, cause he should have been arrested. And I loved how Moon goes, yeah, we have to go inside to train. Someone's been talking weirdly to the girls. And Johnny's like, who could that be? And then he was trying to get muscle, like he put like body oil on Miguel, who's like 42 years old, trying to make it look like he has muscles and shit. I mean, I don't have muscles, but like me and Miguel, like, you know, might have the same arm structure. We just lose focus in the middle. But it was a funny scene, but it was like, damn, Johnny, like you probably shouldn't have broke up with Miyagi-Do.
Yeah. Sorry, we haven't had a Rosemary Baby reference on the show for a while, so I had to break out a Louis Anderson.
I'll take Louis Anderson. Add him to the show, please.
All right. Tim.
He was great in Baskets as Mrs. Baskets. great breakout character. Now I want to see Louis Anderson in this show. The karate board members. Hey, look, the stakes can never be higher. We're talking about the All Valley tournament here in the karate cinematic universe. So, of course, it's going to be like a life and death situation here. The deliberations over how this tournament is going to be run. But yeah, I like seeing these... these idiots again. We've seen them throughout the series, I feel like, and they're always pretty much equally inept. But just goes to show how everyone in this show is a character. There's nobody who's just kind of, you know, thrown in to just serve the plot or whatever. Everyone has to have a little something to them, including these somewhat nameless board members. So their argument was pretty entertaining. And again, this change up in the rules, now we're no longer are men going to be fighting women here, which I love everyone's reaction to in the scene that they showed of Aisha basically getting her ass kicked, which, by the way, nice little callback there, setting up something we're going to see in this episode coming up.
Thank you, Tim. But, I forgot that. Thank you.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. Reminding people that this character existed in a quick little scene like that. But now, you know, it's a co-ed tournament, but the girls fight the girls, the boys fight the boys. And just goes to show how diluted the various dojos have become. Not only have we scattered some of our main kid characters, but Cobra Kai has... no female students whatsoever. So
Eagle Fang.
Or Eagle Fang, excuse me. So that's a bit of a problem. You know, you got Tori. At least you've got Tori and Cobra Kai and Sam for Miyagi-Do. So it's not like they're totally unrepresented, but it's like it's almost the show realizing they should maybe do a better job with that and providing a pretty good rationale for it at the same time. And this, and leads to this very entertaining, no doubt, recruiting spree. I don't know. I feel like Miguel had some decent guns there. He's got to get that superhero bod, right? Cause he's going to be Blue Beetle next at some point in the near future.
Oh yes. It's getting a theatrical release. Not going to be on HBO.
That's nuts.
That's going to bomb.
They might change that.
They should. Sorry, it's another podcast.
Yes.
It's all right. Any thoughts on Auntie Candace, Tim?
Oh, yes, sorry. I thought that her threats came off as extremely hollow, and I'm glad that Tori basically called her on it. You know, she's like, bitch, I'm going to be 18 pretty soon, and you just try to get custody. Not only do you not want custody of a child, but I know because you're such a crackhead that you do such a shitty job that I could win back custody just like that. So try me, bitch. I like that little exchange between them. Like, it's definitely some conflict for Tori, but she didn't feel threatened by this dumb bitch, basically.
All right. So Tori then shows up at the LaRusso's and asks Amanda for help. She needs him to sign off on helping her get back into school. Amanda says she wants Tori to see a counselor or something like that. Sam and Daniel arrive home in time.
Someone who isn't connected to karate.
Yes. Basically. Sam is pissed off at seeing Tori there. Hawk is all down in the dumps, and Dimitri tries to uplift his spirits. But Hawk says he's done with karate altogether. That was kind of a heartbreaking scene because you see, you know, Hawk is now Eli again, and he's just sitting there, you know, doing coding or whatever the hell nerdy thing he does. And I kind of like this. I really at this point I'm enjoying this Amanda Tori thing because I think there's also a sense that Amanda feels a little distant from Sam because she's always with Daniel, and who wants to hang out with little shit Anthony, you know, ever. So, you know, she's like, this girl Tori's, I mean, you know, maybe underneath she's not all bad. So, Tim, what do you make of this Tori showing up at the house and then the reaction that happens?
I just like seeing this deepening of relationships where it's not all black and white. It's shades of gray, bro, right? So you got Tori who actually is now thinking maybe Amanda does actually have good intentions towards her and realizes that at the end of the day, she's going to need her. If she's going to, which it completely befuddles me that this school would actually let her back in under any circumstances, considering she completely instigated the karate riot. It's not, you know, it's not just that she assaulted Sam. Like, she is totally the reason this whole thing happened, but whatever. That's what happens in shows like this. So it's like she's trying to take the high road and realizing that, like, look, I need to be getting my life together at the end of the day here. Yes, karate is important because I am an inhabitant of the karate cinematic universe, but you know, I've still got a mom that I'm taking care of. I've got a younger sibling. I've got this bitch aunt breathing down my neck. So, yeah, she's really up against a wall, and Amanda's the only person who can really help her. So I like seeing that exchange between the two of them. Hawk, you know, very despondent, down on his luck. Some people would say perhaps deservedly, given some of the things he did over the past few seasons, but just continues that arc for him. And I'm not sure I was really prepared for the ultimate payoff that this is gonna get. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to, you know, get ahead of ourselves or spoil anything, but this has a very, very good, very satisfying and cathartic conclusion once we get there.
Yeah, we get kind of similar, you know, talk to what we talk about here with, you know, Dimitri saying the karate war and talking about Batman, that he's more Alfred, you're Batman. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you're not much of a DC guy. So I love that kind of nerd talk. Scott, what did you think of the Tori, Amanda, and then this Hawk situation?
Well, Sam coming home and being upset because, like, she hates Tori, but also, like, you know, it's another reason why she's slowly turning into a bitch. But I'm glad that, you know, this is sort of reminds me. I'm not sure if you guys watched Friday Night Lights, but when Connie Britton was on the show, she was also in the movie. And she said when she wanted to do the show, she wanted to have storylines and not just be the wife that they show cheering in the movie. And that's what it feels like they've moved on with Amanda in this season. They're actually giving her some storylines. which I'm glad they did, because it's been four seasons. How many times could you just have her, you know, being like Daniel's plus one to a party or something, or come in with great zingers, which she does. But I'm glad that she's like mentoring Tori in a certain way, which, you know, we see pay off towards the end of the season, and hopefully continues onward, because we might get six seasons of the show. And also, you guys didn't mention that Dimitri showed the video of him and Hawk made of them being binary brothers.
Yeah, that's a thing. Yeah.
And I loved Hawk saying, "I thought you deleted that." And Dimitri goes, "I say a lot of things I don't mean." But it was
binary brothers. Yes. Yeah, great tag team.
Coming soon to NXT 2.0.
No doubt.
But no, it was just a fun scene, and like, you know, we see like Tim, you mentioned it good, like we see what happens with that, but like we see Hawk being knocked down to basically just Eli again, where he's like sitting there playing like the game Kenny was playing on his laptop, I'm assuming.
You know, and I'll just add that we've been dogging on Sam throughout this season. I did though think she kind of had a point in this scene, where she walks in on Tori and her mom and kind of gets half of the story, I guess. I mean, yeah, she should have an issue with Tori coming back to school. She's the one who got assaulted and, by the way, had to deal with like several months worth of PTSD. So it's not like Amanda's going to be there at school every day having to navigate and work around this person who terrorized her. Sam is. And why is she not taking up for her daughter more? Like, all of a sudden she's, as far as to Sam's mind, it's like her mom has totally done this 180 where she had her back, and now she's going out of her way to help the person who terrorized her. It's like, this makes no sense to Sam, and I completely get where she's coming from.
All right. So Johnny and Miguel show up to recruit Moon's ex-girlfriend, Piper. Johnny has to pretend to be woke and gives a spiel about feminism and empowerment to intrigue Piper, and it seems to work. Sam is upset that Amanda is helping Tori get back into school. Amanda confides in Daniel about how she was once arrested in high school. Basically, she took a baseball bat to her math tutor's car because she was basically sleeping with her dad, and you know, caused the parents' divorce. So she sees herself in Tori a bit, and she wants to give Tori a chance. I'm sure if Sean was here, he'd mention loving seeing her in yoga pants and a half shirt was pretty hachi here.
I mean, Danielle, that's what I think caused him to be off the show for this episode.
He couldn't handle it.
Yeah, he couldn't handle it. So
all right. So Daniel tries to talk to Robbie when they're at the market. He warns him about Silver, but Silver is behind him, interrupts. Silver then taunts Daniel. All right, Scott, what'd you make of the recruitment scene of Piper and then Sam? Amanda's basically, you know, she divulges her past. You know, we see the reasons why she's helping Tori now.
Yeah, Johnny trying to, you know, say that he was woke to Piper, I thought was great, because like he's saying all this stuff and then he walks away, and it's like in old school where Will Ferrell was like just went off that rant. He's like, blacked out for a second. Like, that's what it felt like. And like, yeah. He's like, oh, what the hell's going on? Like, he's saying all this stuff and she's like, you know, are there pronouns? And he's like, yes, sensei and student. And like, I laughed way too hard at that. It's just like, man doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, he has a hell of a line later that I'll say in our next episode, which I have laughed at daily that I've thought about it since then. Also, Amanda should have told Sam like why she's helping Tori instead of telling Daniel this. I think that would have helped Sam relate some, to be completely honest. Just to be like, hey, not everyone has it, you know, sunshine and daisies as you. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, Robbie being an asshole to everyone, my man's burning every bridge. He already told Johnny that he's a terrible dad and he's a better fighter than him. And now he's like, you know, Silver sees something in me. And then Silver taught him Daniel. And then, like, we see, like, because it's all in the convenience store. And the guy looks at Silver and is like, you going to have any more meetings in here? And Silver, like, just stares him down. He's like, oh, you can do whatever you want. So it's like, we're starting to see, like, a little bit more of, like, Silver. And it's kind of dangerous.
Yeah. Tim.
Yeah, I like seeing Silver walk that fine line where he is starting to look a little bit dangerous now and could be a real loose cannon here. Yeah, Sean is definitely fantasizing about Amanda beating him with a bat, no doubt, or beating something with a bat. So that, again, there's the rationale for her wanting to help Tori. So they do a nice job there just giving Amanda as a character a more fleshed out history. So she feels more like, again, a true part of the cast here, not just an accessory to Daniel, as Scott was describing with, you know, the Connie Britton character, Friday Night Lights. Yeah, great. Good on Johnny here for coming through in the clutch and saying the right thing despite himself to manage to successfully pick up Piper here, who seems like a rather intriguing character, and further just deepening our cast. I will say this show does a good job with new character introductions. So they, starting from really Tori's addition, what, in that second season, right on to, you know, we get Kenny early on here. Now we're seeing Piper. We're going to get some others. And right away, you kind of know who they are and respond to them pretty positively. At least I am, which I think is a rare quality in a long running show like this, where it's sort of like, yeah, who are these new guys? Get them out of here. I'm just interested in who I've known, my favorites from day one. But they do a nice job of consistently mixing up their cast, mixing in new characters who just make a good impression right away. And it's they've got such a solid track record in that. It's a real rare quality.
All right. So let's get to the end of the episode. Because Cobra Kai's new closing line, Piper actually joins them, and Eagle Fang still needs a girl. Sam drives to Santa Barbara to visit Aisha, and she tells her about Tori returning to school, and Aisha gives her advice that she's learned from Johnny. Johnny finds a girl in the debate team who fits the bill. Eli comes back to Miyagi-Do, and Tori returns to school, and Sam lays the groundwork and threatens her. So we get a hot finish to this show. We get, like you said, in addition to Piper, and we get this other girl whose name I think we learned in the next episode, as well as, you know, we get a return of Aisha, who I think is kind of missed a little bit on this show. Got to be honest, she's a good character, I thought, and she does a really, this is a great cameo of hers. Kind of puts, gives Sam a better perspective. And, you know, I love Johnny. He's trying to pull ladybugs by having, you know, McGill or Bertress as a girl for the competition. So, you know, if you're going to reference a Rodney Dangerfield movie, God, that's kind of the weakest one to reference.
But, he said he was going to have penis breath do it.
Yeah, penis breath as a girl, which I'm really not sure there. Tim, what did you think of the ending of the episode?
I can't say penis breath without cracking up.
I mean, this girl, I would not want to be up against her in debate, by the way. She just goes off.
Yeah. Yeah. I, again, another great, I forgot she was introduced in this very same episode.
Well, yeah, she gets name dropped earlier because they're like, do you know any girls? And he's like, there's this girl on the debate team that I think good. He's like, I'm not looking for nerds. I'm looking for athletes.
So they did set her up. And just her being like, fuck your decorum, basically just going at this guy. Who's like, seems like such a, anyway, so that was a very cool scene where they now we've got additional female cast members, not just the one that they needed to really round out all the dojos. So good on that for, I guess, just further diversifying your cast show. But anyway, Aisha was a character who, yeah, was a little bit sadly missed last season. Never really clear on the circumstances behind her departure. I don't know. I think the actress had some personal stuff going on. But anyway, like when you think about this show's history, you know, going back to that first season, she was really, after Miguel, like just the second Cobra Kai recruit, which is kind of a big deal. And plus, she was so close to Sam. So she's kind of a bridge between these two different worlds early on. And I mean, she gives, again, I can never remember whether it's Yasmin or Moon, the front wedgie.
I think it was Yasmin.
Yasmin. And, you know, just kind of establishes herself as a real badass and a pretty respected member of the show and a student of Cobra Kai. And then she's just sort of suddenly gone. Well, this show is, it does a good job about never forgetting about anybody, whether it goes back to, you know, the original Cobra or Karate Kid franchise or just its own kind of, yeah, throwaway characters. And we're even going to see somebody else from earlier seasons and subsequent episodes here. Love that it just keeps everyone in play, even if this is just going to be a guest shot for Aisha. She's just going to be in the one episode. It's more than just a cameo because she really does give Sam this pep talk and helps get through to her in ways that her parents really can't right now. And I think that she serves an important purpose here other than just being a, hey, remember this person? So, you know, more good writing on that front.
Mm-hmm. All right. What do you think of the Sam's little threat to Tori at the to close the episode?
I mean, I'm here for it. Again, I like the slow burn. It's like these two are never going to stop fighting. They're pretty mm-hmm. much like just another generation of Johnny and Daniel.
Yeah. All right. Scott?
Sam missed the point of the whole Aisha talk. She missed the whole point. Aisha said this girl was bullying her, and Aisha went up and stood up to her, and now they're best friends. So what did Sam do? Instead of like saying like, oh, you know, she threatens her. She missed the whole point.
Yeah, but it gives us good drama.
I mean, yes, it does give us good drama, but you know, I'm like, damn, like this is like making me like turn into like, I kind of feel bad for Tori because her home life sucks and she's just trying to like be back in school. And Sam's like, listen, bitch, you better not even fucking breathe on me or I'll end you. Mm-hmm. But I did like Cobra Kai getting a new like clothing line because that was hinted to earlier in the episode where Silver was like, hey, I got some stuff coming in. And like Kreese doesn't seem to like change, but it's like brand new like gear, which kind of looks pretty awesome, and it shows that Cobra Kai is being sponsored by Champion. Don't know if you guys picked up on that. The debate team thing was cool. I love how she ripped the book and everything. But yeah, a good episode, and sadly we only have 4 episodes left after this, but I finished this, like I said, I finished this over a couple of days, and it was amazing. Like, even like talking back this with you guys, it's great.
Yeah, Johnny's like, I just got the biggest badass girl in the valley, which she is. Yeah. I mean, she's a, you know, she's the tough kid. Like I would not be like, she's the one that'll grow up to be that lawyer that'll just kick the shit out of you
yep.
in court. All right. Well, guys, we are 2/3 of the way through our coverage of Cobra Kai season 4. So excellent job. Again, you know, Sean will make appearances as he's able to. So we hope to have him back for the last part of our 3-part series. Don't forget to check us out every week covering the Book of Boba Fett here on the Please Mission Pop Experience under Pop Goes to the Couch. And coming soon, we're going to be covering Peacemaker on HBO Max. Looking forward to more discussions. Really enjoyed that character in The Suicide Squad. So looking forward to hearing what Tim and Scott and Sean have to say about these episodes. So until next time, I'm Andy Atherton for Scott Shiflett, Tim Capel, and Sean Kidd. Thank you for joining us here on Pop Goes to the Couch. We'll see you a couple times next week. Take care.